Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. We finally made it through this week. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives as usual. We start with the bad, however, today, which ultimately kind of flows into the good one. So the bad news is that there are far more problems than we even realized just 24 to 48 hours ago about Obamacare and specifically these exchanges. This from MarketWatch at the Wall Street Journal. Insurers say the federal healthcare marketplace is generating flawed data that is straining their ability to handle even the trickle of enrollees who have gotten through so far, in a sign that technological problems extend further than the website traffic and software issues already identified. Emerging errors include duplicate enrollments, spouses reported as children, missing data fields, and suspect eligibility determinations, according to executives at more than a dozen health plans. And if that weren't enough, we had the whole software fiasco unfold yesterday. First, we thought that the administration stole it. Then it turns out that they perhaps didn't give the proper recognition to the folks who did design it, although I'm not sure they would want recognition at this point. And of course, the final point is that it appears to be really ancient technology, perhaps as old as the 1990s, from an administration that was so at the cutting edge of technology when it came to the actual campaign. So, Jim, bizarre that this keeps happening.
The word glitch is going to turn into, you know, that statement is no longer inoperative or some sort of legendary moments of Washington spin, because clearly these problems are not just glitches. A glitch is a typo. USA Today is saying it's going to take 6 months of fixing. The Maryland system, which was supposed to be the pinnacle and the very best of them, was saying, you know, four to six weeks of this. If the real problem is, if bad data is going through to the insurance companies, basically everything that is being done through these websites has to be redone or at least double checked. And as we were seeing in the first couple of days, it's one thing if you have a couple dozen where you got to call up the applicant and double check, you know, it says here that this person is your child and we think it's, you know, is it really your spouse and stuff like that. I mean, basically, if you have to redo all the information gets plugged in through the website, then you don't really need the website now, do you, Greg? You have to do everything twice. The good news is that according to this fantastic site, enrollmaven.com, at this point, they have 17,000 people enrolled 2 weeks in. Their plan by the end of March was 7 million, so a bit of a ways to go. What's really kind of intriguing is folks speaking to Yuval Levin, who are working on this and who are, you know, all wanted to see this come to fruition, are now saying unthinkable options regarding the first year of the exchanges, which I'm, you know, now you're thinking, is this mean delaying the individual mandate? Because this is exactly what the administration's fought tooth and nail to prevent during the government shutdown. So the Obamacare websites may manage to do what all of the congressional Republicans have not managed to do during this entire fight of the last 3 weeks.
A perfect transition into the good martini. And as you've pointed out in the Jolt today and referenced there in passing, according to a lot of these experts, if these, not just the quote-unquote glitches aren't worked out by the start of November, now less than 2 weeks away, or at the drop-dead latest date, mid-November, they're going to have almost no choice but to delay this probably up to a year. And as you point out in the Jolt today also, Jim, it's not just that they need the glitches to be taken care of and the numbers to radically increase in who enrolls, but the balance to be right between sick and old people compared to young, healthy people who are basically being asked to fund this whole thing. So there's a lot that has to go right for this administration after a horrific rollout here in the next month, or else, as you mentioned, they're going to have to do exactly what they didn't want to do and push this thing back.
You know, you could say the good news is an opportunity is coming along. This thing is blowing up on the launch pad. It is not going turning out the way the administration does. What have we been warning about? The death spiral, right?
Yep.
Old sick people sign on and young healthy people say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to pay it. I'll pay the fine of 1% of my income rather than sign up for insurance. I'm not going to use, and they're going to cost me a lot more. Well, you have a circumstance in which you still have the death spiral, which, you know, kind of leads towards the end of private health insurance companies in this country, because otherwise they can't do it. You're basically not seeing a lot of people who did not have health insurance before signing on and paying for it themselves. You're getting a lot of people added to Medicaid, which is already in, you know, fiscally shaky spot because of, you know, this is partially funded by the federal government, partially funded by the states. The big push from the administration was to expand it to, I believe it was 138% of the federal poverty level. And the problem is, like, you know, look, you want to help those folks, but this is basically all money going out from the government. It is not any money coming in. And you know, the states or governments are going to face the same problem the insurance companies do. Too much money going out, not enough money coming in. The Republicans will be able to say, we told you so on Obamacare. The question is, what is step two? And if you try to repeal it, then all the folks who have already signed up, which at this point is only, you know, 17,000, but let's assume it gets up to, say, a million people or something like that, you'll have a situation in which you're taking away, you know, the coverage from people who thought for the first time in their life they're going to have coverage and all that kind of stuff. So Obamacare is turning into exactly the mess we thought it is. And as much as, you know, saying I told you so is enjoyable and heartily deserved in this so, because the Republicans warned about this and warned about this and warned about this for years and years and years, ultimately the mess is still there and it's still going to get fixed. And this is, you know, a giant stink bomb on 1/6 of the economy is not a problem that's going to be cleaned up rapidly, quickly, or I suspect cheaply.
No, I think you're right about that. Two thoughts about what you pointed out there and also in the jolt to some extent. Number one, you point out how obviously the more old and sick people there are in there and less young and healthy people, the more the insurance companies are going to have to crank up their premiums on the people mm-hmm. who aren't elderly and sick. And I think that for a lot of people will implode in the face of the Obama administration. But if there's anything this administration is good at, and the list is not very long, it's blame shifting, and they're going to just blame it on insurance companies who have decided that they have to go after these profits, which is not going to be the real story, but they're going to be the bad guy in this story, and that potentially could be their scapegoat and their push towards single payer. But I got to think, between the numbers they won't have in Congress and other factors, just common sense, that hopefully won't be the way the nation reacts. The good news is, though, in terms of replacement, this didn't get a ton of attention, but the Republican Study Committee released a very detailed healthcare reform plan, their option to replace once the other one is repealed, if in fact that ever happens. So there is a framework to work on. Tom Price had this out there a couple of years ago as well. So while I'm sure it will be demonized by the left if we ever get to that point in this debate, there is something there in terms of a framework to go off of.
The question will then be getting, you know, that kind of a framework through Congress and through sure. Obama. You know, all of this would be helped if we had a reasonable president. But look, I mean, this has his name on it, you know, and this is something that he has spent you could argue just about all of his political capital on, and just about all of the political capital of Democrats. And their whole argument has been, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And now we're finding out that it's not fine. Well, when you've just staked so much of your credibility and reputation on it's going to be fine, then acknowledging any problem beyond glitches, little tiny glitches, don't worry about it, piece of cake, going to take care of it. They need to resist the urge to fix it, which is, of course, just going to making any needed reform even tougher and harder. Republicans are now going to be in a situation where they need to save the American healthcare system from a bad system, from the math of the death spiral, you know, people go, you know, too much money going out, not enough money going in, and an Obama administration is going to want to sweep the problems under the rug as much as possible and try to pretend everything is fine.
All right, we are going to end the week with our crazy martini, and in a very lighthearted way, which is badly needed after this week. In case you haven't heard, and if you haven't, I don't blame you, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going around the country now because he got a brand new movie opening this weekend called Escape Plan. He and Sylvester Stallone are inmates, and they got to break out of a prison, I guess. But anyway, Schwarzenegger, of course, who was governor from 2003 till the end of 2010 of California, has decided that he wants to run for president in 2016. But there's one little problem. He, of course, wasn't born in America, and the Constitution requires that any president must be born in America. So he is pushing hard for a change to the Constitution, and he's even ready to challenge it in court, Jim, so he can get on the ballot for 2016. Not sure he's real clued in on how the amendment process to the Constitution works, but I'm pretty sure it would take a little bit longer than before 2016 for that to play out, and I'm not sure that anybody wants to do that.
You know, Greg, I think there's somebody with much better expertise on this subject than I, so I'm just going to turn it over to him.
Oh, great.
Mr. Columbus, I do not like these things you're charging, that I am not allowed to challenge the Constitution in court. This is how we work in Austria. This is how it has always been done. And when I was in California, look, as president, I could do for the entire country what I did for California. Look good managing the decline. That is what I do. Also, I would point out that, look, this was my escape plan. My plan to get out of the governorship, because I had done such a lousy job in California, was to go back to movies. And now I have done The Expendables. And now I have done Escape Plan. And it is terrible, terrible movies, Greg. So now running for president is my escape plan from the really crappy movies I am making. Hear me now and think about later, but consider very definitely. Someday you'll answer to a President Schwarzenegger.
I have been waiting to use my Schwarzenegger impression for quite some time.
Very good.
It's been a while since I've been out there. And it's, you know, like all impressions, once you step into character, it's tough to get out. So I will just, you know, I'll be lifting heavy things and hitting on maids and doing stuff like that for the rest of the week.
So Republicans clearly are not enamored with the guy. Democrats hate him because he's a Republican. So where exactly would his base be?
Honest to God, I'm pretty sure this is a movie promo. Escape Plan did not have a great opening weekend. So what do you do? Oh, I'm going to run for president. Oh, you know, people reminds people Arnold Schwarzenegger is alive. By the way, you know, he was one of my all-time favorite, you know, action hero stars and, you know, a great immigrant success story. And I had high hopes for his governorship. But really, you can't say California was in better shape when he finished in about 2010 than when he started. They were in, you know, deep doo-doo, so to speak, after his, you know, years in there. You know, he tried to push through reforms. Democrats in the state legislature knocked him down pretty early, and he basically was not successful. He basically was willing to coast for the last 4 years or so of his governorship. So as a result of that, what's the argument for Schwarzenegger to be president? And I don't think there is any of that other than it might help him, you know, it might help DVD sales.
I guess if we ever do need to send troops on the ground in a Schwarzenegger presidency, he would actually go with them. That might
be there's that. Of course, like, you know, if you said to me, all right, Jim, you absolutely need to have a member of the cast of the movie Predator as president of the United States. And so my options are Schwarzenegger,
Jesse Ventura. And Carl Weathers. Don't forget about Apollo Creed.
Oh, you know, all right, maybe I'd go with Carl Weathers then. I forgot about that. So that would work. Or alternately, the guy who was in the Predator suit. I would go with that guy, which, by the way, was originally supposed to be Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Really?
It was. He was originally supposed to be doing a kind of a kickboxing type alien thing. It didn't look good in the suit. It didn't work. So they went with just a big guy and a monster. Anyway, now you can tell we've gone very far afield from our traditional material. But after the past couple of weeks we've had, Greg, I think we need it. So there you go, America. I vote the Predator for Republican nominee in 2016. That's my nomination. It's time to get America back in the hunt.
And if you go Predator 2, it's Danny Glover. So you're not doing any better there either. So.
Yeah, good point. But no, you're rooting for the Predator against Danny Glover in that one. Alternately, there's Bill Paxton, who you know, stands out in life. Obviously, he played a Republican candidate in the Big Love series at the end of the that series. He was running for, I don't know, it was Congress or something like that as a Republican. Do you know what makes Bill Paxton really, really unique, Greg?
What's that?
He is the only man to have been killed by a Predator, an alien, and a Terminator.
He's hit for the cycle, apparently, huh?
He's hit for the cycle. So, you know, if he can survive all that, he can handle the presidency.
I guess so. That was cathartic. Jim, have a great weekend.
See you on Monday, Greg.
Jim Carity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.